And you're here with Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael. Ferris Lind was an entrepreneur and businessman cut from the same cloth as a Howard Hughes or a Richard Branson, an adventurer, always courting danger in the skies and in negotiations. The Idaho native loved to make a buck, and he loved to fly. But all the while training naval pilots during World War II and developing a small airline of crop dusters, he cultivated the gas station and corner store that has become ubiquitous in Idaho, the Stinker Store, turning a $5 loan from his sister into a 68-store retail chain. Author Rick Just operates a history blog called Speaking of Idaho, and his latest book, Fearless Ferris, Ferris Lind, the man behind the skunk. Welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
It's good to have you here, and you will be signing copies at Rediscovered Books next Thursday, May 2nd. Good to have you in the studio. And, you know, we're going to get to the big question later. Why is the skunk the mascot? So don't answer that yet.
All right.
But just to set the time periods. So Ferris Lind, born in 1915 outside of Twin Falls, died in 87.
Yeah.
What about his life was fascinating to you?
Well, you know, he was a real do-it-yourself kind of guy, for one thing, and he was very humorous. I'd always admired him, admired his humor, his signs, his advertising, all of that. But what an entrepreneur he was. He tried a lot of different things. And
yeah, walk us through some of those. I already mentioned pilot.
Yeah, he was a pilot during the war. He was a pilot trainer, actually, during the war for the Navy. And when he got out of the Navy, he started a crop dusting service that was very successful. Had a lot of people working for him. But it's a dangerous business. And he started losing planes and started losing people and such and thought, you know, the only ones that would insure him were Lloyd's of London, and he thought, maybe we'll do something else for a while.
And so what year is this when he decides to do something else for a while?
Well, you know, he was doing everything all at once in a lot of ways. He started the first gas station at 16th and Front, the first wasn't a stinker station at that time, right before the war, 1941. Just ran it for a few months, and then December 7th came along and Pearl Harbor, and he signed up to do that. And his station ran. He was in a partnership with somebody during the war who ran it for him. And he came back and started up again right after the war with the stinker stations. They still weren't stinker stations.
But not yet.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. And we'll get to the famous logo in a second. But he also had to mix in some politics. You tell a great story about coming to the Capitol here in Boise and what he had to do to make his business life a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, he was sitting in Twin Falls kind of between jobs, just had a new wife, and he read in the newspaper that the governor at the time, who was Governor Chase Clark, was a little upset with the major oil companies because he thought they were ripping people off. And he wondered if maybe there was a way that the state could step in and maybe run a retail petroleum gas station, and which is, it seems like an odd idea today, but it's something that he threw out there as a trial balloon. And Ferris had run a gas station when he was 20 years old, done really well with it. It wasn't his own station. Twin Falls.
Yeah. And when Okies would come through on their way, way to California. So he saw people desperate for gas.
He did. He took in a lot of buck knives and things like that instead of dollars to buy gasoline. But he helped people out and learned the value of advertising, the value of signs and such at that time. And in the meantime, he'd also worked a little bit for a couple of petroleum companies, and he knew the business. And he thought, I've got to get to Boise and talk to that governor because I know how to bring the prices down. He didn't have two nickels to rub together. He went to his dad first and asked him for $5, $5 to get to Boise. His dad said no. So he went to his sister, and his sister said, yeah, okay, here's $5. Mm. He left. He left that day.
And we're talking the 1940s, $5.
Yes, $5. Would have been 1941. And he jumped in his car and drove to Boise and parked somewhere where he could sleep in the car overnight and then went into a service station and kind of cleaned up the next day and went down to meet the governor. Well, he'd not called first. He'd not written a letter. He just walked in. And through the force of his humor and his talent in speaking.
Gift of gab.
Which I clearly don't have myself, but he talked himself into the governor's office that day. and said, you guys have got a surplus piece of property at 16th and Front. It was an old Scales. You know, if you'll rent that to me for $25 a month, I can put in this gas station. And it'll be a cut-rate station. It'll be great. It'll bring down the prices. And the governor had him go over to the attorney general's office and tell the attorney general the same story. And they both bought it and said, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And since he'd done so well, $25 a month was not much for a lease. He said, let's make that. Can you wait like 30 days? Because I don't have any money. I don't think he said that. But can you wait 30 days? And they said, yeah, sure, let's do that. So he went back to Twin Falls. He knew he'd have to have a little money. And he talked to his dad again. He says, yeah, you wouldn't loan me $5, but could you loan me $2,000? He said yes.
And that was the seed money that got him started.
That was the seed money that got him going.
We're talking to Rick Just, author of the book Fearless, about Ferris Lind, the man behind the skunk. So let's talk about that skunk. It's iconic throughout the Treasure Valley and beyond, a skunk with boxing gloves.
Yes.
How did this become the mascot?
Well, originally, the mascot, if you were, it was actually a boxer. He had a big neon sign installed just a block or two away from the station on Front Street. And there was a boxer just ready to, with his hands up and everything like you would expect a boxing pose. And that was working okay for him. But one of the petroleum dealers, the name brand petroleum dealers in the area, said something in a newspaper article. He said, you know, that Ferris Lind, he's a real stinker.
And that he just took that as a badge of honor.
Loved it.
It's like telling a British band their music is like a Led Zeppelin,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
so he took it on as the stinker store. And so he had a big, let's go further in his career. Obviously, a marketing genius.
Yes.
Signs across the highway that say such humor, right? Lost. Keep going. You're making good time anyway.
Yeah.
Or a big sign that said, with a later start, you wouldn't be here yet. And he was behind all these signs.
Yes.
And this was part of the magic.
It was. And it was almost accidental that it happened right after the World War II. He got some 4x8 plywood, and he got it at a pretty good price, but it was interior plywood. So he had to paint it on both sides or it was going to, you know, rot away pretty fast. And that side that didn't have the advertising on it just bothered him. He thought, maybe I can put something on that sign to entertain people. And he really admired the Burma shape signs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he thought, let's put some funny stuff on the other side of those signs. And he finally did that until he had about 150 things on signs throughout Idaho, southern Idaho into Wyoming, even down into Nevada and Utah.
Signs along the highway.
Yeah.
A great mascot. He starts building his retail chain.
Yeah.
Something happens in 1963. He's 47. What happens?
Yeah. Well, in 1963, he got a Sabin polio vaccine. Now, you may recall that the Salk vaccines were a shot. You'd get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a sugar cube. And he had this premonition that this wasn't such a good thing. And he just had that premonition two or three times before he went to get the vaccine. But he took the vaccine, took the sugar cube, and within 2 days he had polio.
So left bedridden, essentially.
Yes, he was actually in an iron lung for quite a while.
Wow.
He was paralyzed from the shoulders down.
Still ran the business, did the marketing.
He ran it for 20 years, became a multimillionaire from his bed. And in 1973, he was honored for that as the Handicapped American of the Year by the President Nixon.
Mm. Well, he also ran into some critics in presidential administrations.
Yeah.
We're thinking about Lady Bird Johnson, First Lady, of course, Lyndon B. Johnson's wife, known famous in Texas and throughout the country for fields of blue bonnets, part of her highway beautification program, and she took target at Ferris Lind.
Well, she did. I don't think she was after him specifically, but she was after billboards. And you may recall the Highway Beautification Act did away with a lot of those billboards. Up to that time, you could go out on federal land and just plant a billboard. You didn't have to get anybody's permission. You didn't have to pay anybody. And that was pretty good for Ferris Lind. He put up a lot of billboards. Well, she came along, and that that kind of killed his business a little bit. And this was by the—he had been in the iron lung and for a couple of years by that time when he fought that bill. Every state, of course, had to comply with it, and Idaho complied with the Highway Beautification Act, and he sued them and didn't get very far with it.
Rick, this is a fascinating book in that there are also a great many photos and a list of all those creative signs that Ferris Lind did. Rick Just, the author of Fearless, Ferris Lind, the man behind the skunk. And you'll be signing copies at Rediscovered Books next Thursday, May 2nd. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Up next, a unique local cat rescue group. They're working to save the lives of Treasure Valley kitties. I'm Tom Michael, and you're in tune with Idaho Matters.